Welcome back, friends. I am so thankful that you're here. This is the Mom Struggling Well podcast, and I am your host, Emily Thomas. And on this show, we laugh about the ridiculous parts of motherhood so that we don't just break down and lose our brains about it. It is a high calling, but for heaven's sakes, it is a hard and sometimes treacherous calling as well. So we have arrived at episode 60, and I don't want to assume that you were planning to send me a gift, but I did do some Googling, and I found out the gift that you're supposed to send for 60th anniversaries, and it's diamonds. So you just let me know if you need to know where to send me diamonds, okay? I really want to help you out with any extra diamonds you have laying around. Seriously though, if you've gotten some value out of these 60 episodes, will you do something for me? When you're about to shop on Amazon, will you add an extra step in? If you go to momstrugglingwell.com, click on the shop menu across the top and it'll take you to Amazon. You don't get charged any extra, but Amazon will give the Mom Struggling Well show a tiny portion of the sale that they would otherwise keep. And no offense to Mr. Amazon, but I think he's doing okay. So if you want to send a little extra of what Mr. Amazon would normally take, send it on over to the Mom Struggling Well show. It really helped me cover the cost of doing this show, which I super duper love to do. So you can go to the menu bar at the top of momstrugglingwell.com or go to momstrugglingwell.com/shop and you'll end up at Amazon just like normal and you can buy all the things. Okay, so this week I'm excited to share with you my friend Nancy Ray. She is a photographer and her images, you guys, are so magical. And if you know me, you know I do not throw the word magical around just willy-nilly. They are. She is so good at her job. She started something called a contentment challenge, and I selfishly knew that I was supposed to talk to her, even though I super didn't want to talk to her because I'd rather pretend that contentment isn't something that I battle with, but I do. And if I battle with it, I bet I'm not the only one. So I knew that you would benefit from hearing from her as well. So let's go ahead and jump into my interview with Nancy Ray. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Hey, Emily. I'm great. How are you?
Good. What did you do this morning?
This morning, I woke up early. I got up at about 5:45 and had some coffee, read my Bible, wrote my journal, and got to read a lot. My girl slept in, which was nice. So I had a lot of extra reading time this morning.
That's so good. How old is your daughter?
She's 14 months today.
Wow. And so sleeping in is not probably something that happens a lot.
No, it's not. It's definitely a rare luxury. I liked it.
My morning, nobody woke up like super early, and we were running late too. I had my kids go to camp, thank the Lord, and because we're involved in the dead of summer.
Yep.
Everyone, teachers love summer. Wow, summer is not a break for a mom.
It's so true.
But anyway, so they were at camp, and we were late to camp, but everyone slept in, and I just sat and read too. So I'm like, I don't care if we're late.
It's the little things in life when you're a mom.
So good. So will you please tell us about yourself? Who are you?
Absolutely. Really? Yeah. Well, I'm Nancy Ray. I am a North Carolina girl born and raised in Raleigh. The business side of me is that I'm a photographer. I own my own photography business and I have a small team that works with me, work out of my home. We have a little three-story townhome and the bottom level is my studio. And so we live on the top two levels.
How nice.
Yeah, it's great. So I just walk down the stairs to work every morning. I have a nanny that helps me 3 days a week and then grandparents help me one day a week with my little girl, which is such a blessing.
So good. Do you mainly take pictures of like what? Weddings or graduates or what?
Yep. So usually it's primarily weddings and we also do portraits. So I have a few girls that work with me and two of them are wedding photographers and one of them only does family photography. So we kind of divide up the work.
Okay.
And then I do some of both. So I do weddings and families.
Can you talk about the craziest wedding that you were involved in?
Oh my word.
Change, you know, all the identifying information.
They're all so different. I know, right? You know, this is actually one that I did just a few weeks ago. It's hard to think. I've been doing this for 8 years. So like there are so many different stories
right. In
all the different weddings. But I just photographed the wedding with the largest bridal party that I've ever had. The bride had 18 bridesmaids and the groom had 19 groomsmen. So, and then with the little kids, it ended up being like over 40 people, I think. But actually, one groomsman couldn't make it because his wife had a baby like the day of the wedding, which was crazy. But
so they only had 19.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little crazy. So,
goodness.
Yeah, but I mean, there's been all kinds of crazy things that have happened through the years for sure.
I saw one of a picture of you that you had taken of all the people praying around the bride?
Yeah.
That was gorgeous.
Yeah, thank
you. You're good at your job.
Thanks. Those are my favorite moments. It's just right before all that anticipation, all the emotion. And when I love it when the bridesmaids pray over the bride, but I really love it when the groomsmen pray over the groom beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I just see these like macho men become so tender right before the ceremony. It's just precious. It's awesome.
Okay, but does your camera make clicking sounds? Do you feel like that?
Yeah.
Or do you have a camera that does that?
No, it does. It definitely does.
Do you feel like that interrupts things, or do you not even hear it anymore?
You know, my film camera is really loud. I shoot in film, and my digital camera is a little bit more quiet, but sometimes I do have to be careful with my film camera. But most of the time, people are so not focused on me. They're focused on what's going on. It's not a huge deal.
Okay. Because I feel like I'd miss moments because I'd be like, oh, this is a quiet time.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm very strategic. I'll always push the button maybe when a song is going or someone's saying something, so it's kind of muffled a little. I've gotten good at that.
Okay. Well, how exciting. Is it as stressful as it used to be, or are you kind of like, you know how to do it now?
I get nervous every single time still.
I think that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
I get nervous every time I record a podcast.
Right.
Every time.
Every time.
So
and I think that that's a good thing. It's kind of like, and you know, you said stressful. There's a difference between good stress and bad stress. And I think for some photographers, they don't even want to touch weddings because it's for them a bad stress. For me, it's good. I love the intensity of a wedding day, the intense emotions. I love the intense schedule, the challenge of rallying a bunch of people together and creating these really beautiful images. I love it. I thrive on that. But yeah, a lot of people, it's like, no, thanks. I'm good. Yeah. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I'm glad there are people like you who will take pictures of weddings.
It's fun. It's a joy.
So I first knew about you from Valerie Kinsley. She was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she did the contentment challenge.
Yep.
And I thought, well, I need a little bit of that in my life.
Right.
So tell me about what that is.
So the contentment challenge was born back in 2013, and I was speaking at a conference called Making Things Happen.
Oh, Laura Casey?
Yeah, Laura Casey founded the conference, and there's just a handful of us that speak together at the conference. And at the end of the conference, an exercise we do is just define ourselves with one word that we just need to kind of proclaim over ourselves and declare. And my word that time in March of 2013 was content. And I really felt like God was telling me that I needed to give up shopping. And I know that's kind of weird and arbitrary. And some people are like, how do you hear God talk to you like that? And all I can say is there was this deep sense of this feeling inside me, this thought that I had that I could not shake, that I just needed to give up shopping. And it's significant because my husband and I had been on a journey since we got married for 5 years, where we were saving up for a home, a big down payment. And then we actually followed Dave Ramsey's plan and in 2.5 years ended up paying off our house. And we lived on next to nothing. I mean, we got completely out of debt. Even to this day, we have zero debt to our name, which is such a freeing feeling. But what happened was we paid off our house in December of 2012.
Okay.
And that January, it was so exciting for me because I thought, yes, no more house payment, no more double house payment, right? We just got a big raise. We can spend all this money. We basically increased every single area of our budget. I was so excited.
It's
and
a
I thought,
free for all.
Yeah. I thought I can earn, I've earned this. You know, it's my time. I haven't been shopping in 5 years is kind of what I told myself, like, which is, but I was saying, you know, I deserve this. I can go to Whole Foods for my groceries now. I can
so nice. That is the dream, right?
Like everything is like, I have sacrificed. It's time to do this. And Emily, what happened was I ended up going over in the budget for the first time. I mean, I had stayed on budget for 5 years. We had worked towards this goal. And once I started having these thoughts of entitlement and like, I earned this and I can do this and give me all the things, I started going over in the budget, even when we had more, which is embarrassing for me to say, but I started going over. My husband and I started arguing about finances more than we ever had in our marriage after we paid off our house, which doesn't make any sense. And what happened was this kind of ugly side of me started coming out, and I I just felt like I needed all this stuff. And so what happened was I would go shopping. I would go over in groceries. I would go over in the clothing envelope. I'd go over in all these categories. And my husband and I would argue, and I'd come back. And that happened January, February, March. Now, March is when I went to Making Things Happen, like I said. And I did some soul searching. And that's when the Lord told me, Nance, you got to give up shopping for 3 months. Your contentment is not in a bigger budget. It's not in stuff. Mm. It's not in having more clothes or nicer clothes or the most trendy clothes. It's not in having the cutest home decor, updating whatever, you know, for your Instagram. It's not in any of that. It's in me. You've got to find your contentment in me. And I fought him on it for 2 days while I was there at the conference. I was just like,
certainly I didn't hear that right.
Right. Like I did not work and sacrifice for 5 years to pay off our house so that I could give this up again. Like, no, that's not the plan. That's not what I did this for. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't shake it. And at the end of the conference, I said, my one word was content. And I said, I am content. And I just blogged right when I got home, the contentment challenge. And I said, I'm content. Here's a challenge. I'm doing this thing. I'm scared to death to put this on my blog. I don't want to put this on my blog. Mm-hmm. I'm scared to death to say this out loud. I don't want to do this. I'm afraid of the ugly that I'm going to see in myself because of how addicted I am to Target and how addicted I am to buying things.
Were you afraid you wouldn't finish it, or were you afraid of what you'd see?
Both.
Did you think you'd finish it?
You know, I'm kind of an all or nothing kind of girl. Like if I say I'm going to do something, most of the time I do it. But the problem with me is getting up the courage to say it, because I know once I say it, then I can't go back. And especially if I blog it, I can't go back, because then there's, you know, all these people reading.
Yes.
It wasn't as much. Yeah, I think I was more afraid of what I would experience in my heart and the ugliness that I would see in myself.
Even after 5 years, you just felt like it was still going to,
Right. Because the truth was, is even in 5 years, you know, I stuck to the budget, but I still wasn't content, you know?
Okay.
It was like this striving for this goal, but I wasn't finding my contentment in the Lord. I was finding it in a goal or achieving something or doing something or, you know, fill in the blank. And yeah, it was just a very telling experience.
Yeah. Okay. So how'd it go?
Well, the first month was really hard.
Okay.
Just really hard. Like the first month, I remember looking at my inbox in my emails thinking, oh my gosh, I waste so much time online shopping, because I would get all of these ads and specials and deals and I would click on them and surf the web during my work hours, mind you. I would also waste time, you know, if I was out for a photo shoot or out running an errand and I happened to be by the mall in the middle of the day, I would just stop in there and just look around. I would always do my grocery shopping at Target.
Okay.
And then I would wander the aisles of Target.
Yeah.
And the first month, I limited my grocery shopping to the grocery store.
Okay.
I unsubscribed from all my emails. I never set foot in a mall or Target because I knew I couldn't. I knew I just, like, it would just be kind of a sad, dark place, which is really silly to say out loud. But really, that was how I feel like that was how addicted I was to the shopping and just having to have the newest, best thing. And so the first month was this kind of detox struggle of me, like, unsubscribing, focusing my work time to only work, not getting distracted. I think that's the best word. I was so distracted with the new and shiny stuff that I couldn't focus on the things that I really should have been focusing on all along, which is my family and my work.
So what did you do instead with all the time and the thinking?
Yeah. So I realized that I was wasting a lot of time. That was probably one of my biggest eye openers during the Contentment Challenge is that how much time I wasted. So this is really embarrassing to say, but first things first, when it was during my work hours, I actually worked.
Okay.
Like, I know that sounds so stupid, but I would get so distracted and I would really find ways to sneak in shopping with my emails or online or Pinterest or running errands. I would just find ways to do it. And so,
well, because you think it's only going to take a second.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you get sidetracked and then it's like 30 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked when I said I was going to work. And when I was not working, this was one of the biggest rewards to me in the Contentment Challenge, was when I wasn't working, I was more present and more intentional about what I was doing. Because I wasn't obsessed with getting the new or shiny thing or going shopping. I actually had to fill my time with real hobbies. You know, some girls are like, shopping's my hobby. But like, you know, I understand. It can be. I get it. But reading is really a hobby. Running is really a hobby. I even did like cross stitching. And, you know, activities you can do with your body or your hands or your brain is really a true hobby. And I kind of realized that for the first time when I wouldn't allow myself to shop. Huh. So I remember I took up running and I ran more often while I was on the Contentment a challenge. I spent more time just outside walking my dog. The first time I did this, I wasn't a mom yet. And so it was more stuff just like caring for myself and spending time reading novels and things that I enjoy versus just like reading to improve like my business or my life or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like true enjoyment kind of started to creep back into my life in the best way. And it was really sweet because it was like the blinders were on. Like I was like a horse with blinders. And because I wasn't shopping, those blinders were protecting me from all the things that everyone was buying and talking about and doing. And I was able to just focus on life. And it was really beautiful.
Huh. Okay. So that kind of happened month two and month three.
Yeah. So month one, and I will say month two was still hard. It just wasn't as hard as month one. Okay. And then month three, it was like I had found my groove of doing these new things. And I had just kind of trained my mind that, you know, life isn't about stuff or like buying stuff or spending money. Life is about living and doing things and being active and getting outside. And it's not about being in a store where people have expertly marketed to you all of their beautiful things. It is about just being grateful for the life that is right in front of you.
How did you reintroduce the option of shopping?
So this is an interesting answer because I feel like honestly, I'm in it right now again.
Okay.
I told you the first Contentment Challenge was 2013. Mm-hmm. I have done three since that first one. So the first and second, I just finished my third one at the end of June. So now it's July and I have been kind of struggling with shopping again. Mm-hmm. And it's I find myself this way every time. And this time I really feel like I'm seeking the Lord for answers because I don't totally know how to do this in the best way because I struggle with guilt when I go back into a store after not shopping for 3 months.
Interesting.
I'm guilty whenever I do buy something. So just trying to find that like freedom that you want, but also knowing that contentment doesn't come from that thing. So I want to be free to buy things, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, you have to buy things in life, right? You have to buy things. You have to. And the truth is, it's not a bad thing to take care of yourself and to get new clothes and to take care of your home and to make it comfortable and welcoming. Those are not bad things.
Right.
It's when they get out of proportion and when they get to be the most important thing that it gets kind of icky and ugly. And so right now, I feel like I'm living in this tension of what does it look like to buy things again in freedom and in grace and being okay with it and confident with those choices while still being content.
And it's hard when you know that's your slippery slope, you know, it's not everybody's, but I think it's a lot of women's.
Exactly. For sure. Yeah. And it's not everybody's. And I will say by doing the Contentment Challenge three times, every single time I have gained more freedom in this. And I know you might be thinking like, what is she talking about freedom? Like she's feeling guilty now. And it's not, you know, that's the beauty of it is I did it for my relationship with God and he is full of grace and freedom and mercy. And that is, he's like leading me and guiding me in this. He's refining me in it, but he's guiding me to new places of freedom. And
I don't think it's weird that you keep doing, I mean, I think we have to keep doing the things that are hard for us.
Right. And it's, I mean, it's like fasting in a sense, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like a version of fasting, like a 2016 version of fasting for the modern American woman, I guess. But it's just.
So what are the nuts and bolts about it? So no, obviously buying things you don't have to have, but you obviously are buying food, but do you even limit, like for us, we super love salmon. So maybe I just have to pause and think about it for a second. So do you like limit the fancy foods you buy or like, what does that look like?
So backing up before the Contentment Challenge, I say you need to prepare your heart and prepare your home, prepare your stuff, look forward to the next 3 months. And before you start, go ahead and buy the things that you really do need.
Okay.
So a new pair of running shoes was something that I bought because I'm a runner and I was going to run a half marathon and I knew my feet needed to adjust. Okay. I bought a slip because I needed one. I bought a hat. Mm-hmm. I bought just a few things for the summer that I knew I needed. A couple pair of dress shoes because my others had worn out and that was it. Mm-hmm. So I say there's this like 2 week period beforehand where you prepare your heart, you prepare your home and your stuff, and you go ahead and buy the things you know you're going to need.
Okay.
That way, when you kind of are preparing yourself so you don't just buy needs that pop up during the Contentment Challenge and then you start to justify everything as a need, right? Mm.
Yes, it's so easy.
Yeah. So there's this need kind of preparation time for the days leading up to it.
That's so smart. Okay.
But when you start, I really encourage every person that decides to do it for themselves to pray about and think about what is it for you. Now, the first time I did it, my go-to things were Target, Starbucks, those tiny little luxuries that we just love. Eating out just had kind of gotten out of control. So the first time I did it, I did stuff for my home,
okay,
clothing, and eating out. That was the first time. Now, the second and third times I did it, eating out is really just not a big thing for our family anymore. We just really enjoy cooking at home, especially now that we have a little one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, throughout this last one, I've got Starbucks. I've
okay.
gone out to eat, but it's just been less. And I don't feel like that's as much of a struggle for me.
Okay.
And I just say to whoever feels like the Lord's calling them to do this, listen to the Lord's voice. Don't let it be a spirit of legalism, and don't let it be something that you're putting on yourself. Like, really, you just have to follow His voice in it and do the thing that is your kind of vice or your struggle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so the guidelines for the Contentment Challenge are to give up shopping for extra stuff for the duration of 3 months. And that is just, that doesn't, obviously you need to get groceries, obviously you need to get food. You know, for your family, if you feel like it's the nice food or more expensive food in the grocery store, then that could be something that you cut out.
I would way rather do that than cut out coffee and clothes. So I'm going to say we can right? still eat salmon.
I know. Yeah. It's about doing the hard thing for sure.
Yeah.
And then I also say, don't be like, I'm high on my horse. I'm better than everybody. You can't give me gifts. I can't buy gifts for anybody. I'm on the Contentment Challenge. Like, that is not the heart of it. So I say, if someone gives you a gift while you're on it, graciously receive the gift and say thank you and say, Lord, thanks for this thing that I didn't buy for myself that someone else bought for me. If you go to a birthday party or if you go out and you have to bring a gift or buy something for someone, then obviously you do that thing. Like an example for me, my daughter turned one right in the middle of the Contentment Challenge this past time.
Yeah, that's not her Contentment Challenge.
Right. It's not her Contentment Challenge. And she'll never have a first birthday again. And I wasn't going to rob myself of throwing her a party just because I was on the Contentment Challenge.
Especially not if you're a photographer. You need to get some good shots of that.
Exactly. Yep. So, you know, I bought some things, but I was just more aware of what I was doing and what I was buying because I was on the Contentment Challenge instead of just being full-on extravagant.
Yeah.
You know, no budget, you know, back to that kind of thinking. I was very intentional with it. But I will say I didn't buy her a gift. You know, I bought her the things for the party, but I ended up hand making her a doll because I had all the supplies on hand. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to get more enjoyment out of this. And so is she in the long run, if it's, and it's a more meaningful gift than if I were to just go buy something for her, which is probably what I would have done if I wasn't on the Contentment Challenge. So it was really good to be on the challenge during her first birthday because it honestly made me focus on what was most important and not go, you know, crazy, but really just focus on family time and loving her well.
I love how the Contentment Challenge kind of spilled over into how her birthday went and what she got as a gift. And it, even though those things, you didn't start off thinking it would change
exactly.
that, you know, God's cool how He changes our hearts in ways that we couldn't anticipate.
Absolutely. And I think that it set a standard for me and our future birthdays. I know birthdays are kind of a thing that like we've talked about as a family, like, mm-hmm. do we want it to be extravagant? Do we want it to be humble? Like, what does it want to be? And for us as a family, and for me personally as the mom, who I think my husband is like, whatever you think, mm-hmm. I'm the one that could really take it more extravagant or not.
Oh, yeah.
For me to be on the Contentment Challenge, it just made me prioritize and say, this is about family, mm-hmm. period. Like, this is about family memories, period. It's not about what it looks like. It's not, of course I did things. I took pictures of things. Of course, I decorated. It brought me joy to do those things, but it wasn't about that. My heart, it was about Millie and people who love her.
Well, I love it. I feel like I'd really like to gear myself up for something like that. Lord knows I need it. My husband is fine with, I mean, he has clothes from 15 years ago. I'm like, please buy some clothes, you know? And I have the opposite. My clothes are like 15 minutes old. I'm like, I need new things.
Right.
Too old.
Right.
No, it's not that
bad. I can learn a lot from my husband for sure. Bless his heart. He has some stuff from high school. I'm like, okay, babe, it's time to throw that out. But yeah, what is it with guys? I feel like the shopping thing for him at least is way easier than for me.
Yeah, my husband wants boats and, you know, huge things.
Yeah.
So that's what.
Exactly.
That's his exactly. issue. Okay, so speaking of traditions and what does birthdays look like, you told me that your mom made some really lovely Christmas Eve traditions. So tell me about those.
Oh my goodness. Whenever anyone asks me about my favorite family tradition, my mind immediately goes back to Christmas Eve. And it all starts with an early dinner. Of course, we have the same thing every Christmas Eve. Okay. She would always fix these little Cornish hens, which are like teeny tiny chickens. Cute. So each of us would get these like individual Cornish
hens. That's so fancy.
I know. And you know, she just took the time to do that and to how she made everything. She made her corn pudding and her broccoli casserole. Of course, the whole spread, the biscuits, everything was just delicious. Uh-huh. And then we would always, as a family, go to a Christmas Eve service at church. Okay. Bear with me. This is kind of like a long line. I'm just going to hit through these things. But we'd go to Christmas Eve. We would come back. And my favorite part of the evening was we would, before that, we would actually get a phone call from Santa Claus. This was like something, something that no other friends of mine got.
That is really special.
Like my dad's friend, that would call us and pretend like he was Santa, and we would talk on the phone with Santa and tell him our long list of things we wanted.
Oh, that's so cute.
And then we would hang up and we would go into our living room, and this by far was just my favorite. My mom and dad would read a book about the birth of Jesus. And it was like a children's book just about the nativity and just the wise men mm-hmm. and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph. And we would actually get out our physical nativity.
Okay.
And we would assign parts to each member of the family. So my brother and my sister would have, you know, my sister would be Mary. My brother would be the shepherds, you know, I would be the wise men. We would all fight over who would be baby Jesus because we always wanted to be baby Jesus. Yeah. Occasionally my brother would bring in his like Batman figurines and, you know, they would mix in with the with the figurines, but
there were not enough superheroes in biblical times. Yes,
exactly. So they would read through the story, and my dad would hold the flashlight up high, and he was always the Star of Bethlehem.
That is so cool.
Mm-hmm, we would turn off all the lights. He would hold the star high, and my mom would read the book, and then we would clear out the nativity so it was empty. And as she read the book, we would each take our figurines and act out the story of Jesus and the birth of Jesus.
That's so cool. Wow, I love it.
I know. And at the end of that time, my mom would get out her famous coconut cake. We would light a bunch of candles and we would sing happy birthday to Jesus and throw him a birthday party. And then we would all go to bed. And that was Christmas Eve. And it was every single Christmas Eve we did all of those things. Dinner, church, talked to Santa Claus, got in the living room, acted out the nativity. And some of my favorite memories with that nativity, I mean, we would just be howling with laughter just because kids are kids, right? I mean, my brother would have the camel on top of the roof of the nativity. And
which I'm sure is accurate.
Right, exactly. you know, just funny things that would transpire just because kids are kids and family's family. Mm. But we would all laugh, have a good time, sing happy birthday to Jesus, eat coconut cake, and then go to bed. And
that sounds so fun.
Yeah, it just was awesome, you know, and it didn't cost a lot of money or it was just the tradition of doing those things. So that was probably my favorite thing. And I definitely hope to carry that on because it was a great learning experience for us as children to learn about the true meaning of Christmas mm-hmm. before Christmas morning, the night before, in an interactive way. Yeah.
That's so good. We've told our kids, like, listen, it's about Jesus, not about Santa. And they're like, I know, we don't believe in Santa. And then they flip out when Santa comes. I'm like,
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
I don't even care right now.
And believe me, we certainly flipped out when Santa came. So, like, it's, you know, it's part of being
my
a kid.
Like, favorite part of childhood was Santa. So I don't want to take that away from my kids, but I want them to know, you know.
I believed in Santa. We did the whole Santa thing. You know, that's another story for another day. But I certainly will treasure those Christmas Eve memories more than any present I got on Christmas morning. You know, I don't really remember the presents, but I do remember that time as a family.
Yes. The only present I ever remember was a Mariah Carey CD that my mom got me when I was like 8.
Amazing. I hope it was her Christmas CD. That's the best one.
I don't remember that. I just remember that I got one and I was super thrilled. So, awesome. Well, I really think I'm doing that. We have a nativity from when we lived in China that was like hand made. And so, we'll use that. So good. Okay. So what would your advice be to a mom who's having like a really tricky day? Because you have a baby, and that was my trickiest parenting season yet.
Yeah. I like that you use the word tricky.
I'm trying to be positive.
Not bad, not good, not crazy stressful, want to pull my hair out, just tricky. Because those are the tricky days. You know, the other day, my husband came home from work and just said, you really need to listen to the song, you're going to miss this.
Hmm.
And I was like, what song is that? You know, and he's like, it's by, what is it? Tracy Adkins, a country singer.
Okay, I haven't heard of it.
And he's like, I just got to pull it up. And literally, it was at the end of the day, and it was one of those tricky days. It was just hard. Mm-hmm. And Millie had gone down for bed, and we were cleaning the kitchen. And I remember just scrubbing her high chair, and he put on that song. And the whole essence of the song is, you're going to miss this. Mm-hmm. You're going to miss this time in the season. As hard and frustrating as this day can be, you're going to miss this time of them being little. And I remember crying my eyes out as I was wiping up her mess in the high chair, because I looked at him and I said, I'm going to miss this. Mm. I'm going to miss scrubbing this high chair with her sticky bananas and avocados and that have been dried on there for days. And I'm going to miss getting on my knees and wiping up the floor. I'm going to miss it because she is only little for so long. I feel like I could cry just talking about it. And just, I would encourage the mama out there who's having a hard day, is you're going to miss it. Even the hard days, you're going to look back and you're going to laugh and say, do you remember when this happened? Mm. Can you believe that that happened? You know, you're going to miss it. And so don't wish the day over. Yeah. Just sit in the mess and sit in the tension. And when you want to strangle your little baby, just grab him or her and just hug them to pieces, just knowing that you're going to miss it one day. And, you know, life is so short and time is so fleeting that you just have to hang on to the moments, to all of them, good and bad, and just thank the Lord for them.
Yeah. I love the song too. I mean, I don't know the song, but to have a song or something that will pull you out of that and give you a different perspective, that's so important.
Yeah. It definitely pulled me out of that funk that day. So if you haven't heard it, even if you hate country music, it's worth a listen. It really is. Just the message behind it is so good.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll cry. I cry all the time at songs.
Oh yeah. Me too.
Okay, so I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
What can you not stop telling everybody about right now?
Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, okay, I'm kind of a practical girl. So the first thing that comes to my mind is Millie's baby book that I have been working on diligently.
Okay.
I'm still not done with it, but my friend Emily Lay has created this baby book, and I am just not a scrapbooker.
Okay.
I'm just not one of those moms. I'm like, I would just want like the easy fix. I love taking beautiful pictures, but I love drag and drop into a book and have it print, right? Like, I'm not like, let me take all my hours in scrapbook.
Yeah.
But Emily's baby book kind of leads you and guides you with little prompts throughout it.
Oh, that's great.
Which is really helpful for someone like me who doesn't really know to scrapbook. And it has all the important milestones that we got it when I was pregnant. And just kind of reading through it before I had her really helped me kind of look out for and capture those things. Because I never was like, I don't feel like I was the typical mom that I already knew to be looking out for her first tooth or her first crawl or her first, like, I don't know. They all kind of surprised me when they happened. So having the baby book there was helpful for me to just kind of be looking out for those things.
Okay.
To write them down and capture them, because later it will be fun to talk about, right?
Yeah.
So the Emily Lay baby book is something that I can't stop talking about.
Is it a physical book?
It is. It's an actual binder.
Okay. Cool.
All the pages are printed in it. And so it's the closest to scrapbooking I'll ever come.
There you go.
Yeah, but it is a physical book. So I love my Emily Lay baby book.
Okay,
I have two more real quick.
Do it.
I bought the new Yeti tumbler for my husband for Father's Day, and mooch it all the time because it's amazing. It just
stolen it.
I mean, he uses it for the most part, but I'll just kind of grab
when you're not. Yeah.
Exactly. But it's really amazing. It's kind of amazing how cold it keeps cold drinks and how hot it keeps hot drinks. It's pretty crazy.
Yes, my husband has one.
Yeah, it's so great.
So good.
The last product that I just love, and it is my go-to every single morning, is my hairspray.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's by Kenra, and you can only get it at like a salon or one of those beauty stores.
Okay. What's so good about it?
Ulta or whatever. It just is my jam. That's like the best hairspray. I literally don't do many products at all in my hair. I only use shampoo. That's it.
Okay.
But I like Kenra is what makes my hair do what it does. I just love it so much. So I just had it's expensive. I think it's like $20. I'm a cheap girl. I don't like to buy expensive things, but that is my one thing.
Okay. So you have straight hair.
Yeah.
Okay. I have curly hair, so it's a whole different animal. But do you just have to, what do you curl it and you put hairspray on? I don't even understand what straight haired people do.
I don't understand what curly hair people do, but I've always
it's a mess.
So the best way to put it is that it just really holds your hair to do whatever you want it to do. Straight hair people struggle with trying to curl it or style it, and it just completely like falls out, straightens out, becomes flat again.
Okay.
But I'll tease it and spray a little bit of Kenra, and it stays. I'll curl it, I'll spray a little bit of Kenra. Before and after I curl it, it stays. Like, it literally, I'll put my hair up, I'll spray with Kenra, it stays. Like, it just does what I want it to do. But it, my hair won't do that unless I have Kenra hairspray in it.
Well, that is so good.
I know, you
and
know.
Is your laundry done?
Yep.
I have the same. Spray. I have the same little bell.
It's singing to us right
so
now.
Good. So I wish I had laundry going. I just have piles of dirt.
Do I need to re-talk through any of that stuff? No. Because my laundry is in the background.
It's real life. It's real life. Awesome. Well, Nancy, seriously, been good to talk to you. Kind of convicting, makes me uncomfortable, but that's fine. I needed that a little bit. So good, though. I'm really going to do a contentment challenge at some point.
Yeah, you should. And I tell you what, it's convicting to talk about, right? Like, it's a journey that I'm still on, too. But the cool thing is I do feel like on this side of it, I have experienced freedom more than I ever have in my life and contentment more than I ever have in my life. And that's just a really beautiful place to be.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that with us today. And I hope you have a good time folding all that laundry.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Emily. Hope you have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Wasn't that so convicting, you guys? It's the worst and the best to feel that convicted. So I'm going to do a contentment challenge myself, but I'm going to wait until January because we're entering the holiday season. And although I'm not going to go wheels off or anything, I want to be able to buy something if I want. It is the most wonderful time of the year after all. So I'm going to start it in January, and please join me if this has stirred something in you too. I'll remind you closer to the time. So you can find some resources that Nancy has created about the Contentment Challenge in the show notes at momstrugglingwell.com. She has a free printable that outlines the Contentment Challenge and also a devotional that you can purchase as you go through the Contentment Challenge. So file away the Contentment Challenge until January. But for this week, what will your strategy be to struggle well? Nancy mentioned weddings being stressful, but that it was a good kind of stress. Maybe this week you consider if there's something in your life that you've labeled as too stressful, but maybe it's just that it's the good kind of stress and you could still keep pursuing it. For example, for me, working as a nurse in the acute care bedside nursing in a hospital, that was the bad kind of stress. I would just find an empty bed, well, not the bed, but the room, and just cry because I was so stressed out. That is a bad kind of stress. But for me, podcasting, it's kind of stressful, but it's a really good kind of stress. So if I just avoided all kinds of stress, then I'd be missing out on something as great as talking into a microphone in my bedroom closet to all of you. So maybe you can lean into some good kind of stress this week. Or maybe Nancy mentioned the idea of choosing a word to define yourself by or to focus on. Maybe this week you can be honest with yourself about what words you're letting define you and which words you'd like to focus on instead. For me, if I'm honest, I define myself sometimes as broken or angry, but words I'd love to focus on instead that are true, what God says about me in His Word, are capable, called, and redeemed. Or maybe like she just wanted to focus on contentment, and so she kind of thought about that as her word. So it's not gonna be long until the beginning of the year, and people like to think about their word for the year. So maybe you can just start thinking about what would you like to turn your focus to? What character trait would you like to focus on or move towards for this year? Nancy also mentioned not wanting to speak about the contentment challenge, to speak it out, because she knew that then she'd have to do it. So maybe this week there's something that you need to speak out, a truth that someone needs to hear, maybe a confession that you need to tell a friend. Maybe you need to make an apology. Our words are powerful, and maybe this week you need to use your words, just like we tell our kids. Use your words. Okay, and I have one more possible thing you could do this week. And it's more on the silly end of things, but when Nancy was talking about that gigantic wedding party that she had of like 19 bridesmaids or whatever, it made me think, who would I have in my wedding party if I got married today? I got married 11 years ago. Who would I add to my wedding party if I was to get married today? And then I started thinking about there would be Pinterest, there would be barn doors everywhere and mason jars. Oh my gosh, it would be amazing. Or maybe that was like 2010. I don't know. I may already be behind, but it would just be so different. It'd be fun to do my wedding over again, / stressful, possibly the bad stress. Anyway, that's not my point. My point is I was talking to some friends and we thought, oh my gosh, we would totally be in each other's wedding. Wouldn't it be fun if we like got terrible bridesmaids dresses and had a party and played like we were in each other's weddings? And you don't know my friends, but they ran with that idea. And that is so happening this week. We are having a kind of wedding party. And we each went separately to the Goodwills and Salvation Armies and bought hideous bridesmaids dresses that we could find. And I have to tell you, mine was $100. With the tag still on, and I got it for $12. So I'm basically already winning, and it's really actually a really cute dress. So maybe you have this week a random bridesmaids party that doesn't really make sense, but you have a whole lot of fun with your friends. So I hope that you loved this episode as much as I did, and that you found it as convicting as I sure did. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for all the interaction that we have. I think you guys are seriously such a lovely group of people, and I'm so thankful to get to interact with you on a regular basis. So I hope you have a great week of struggling well.